It's who I am. It's who I am.
Just want to encourage you this morning. Today is Father's Day. Yeah, be seated. That's fine. Be seated, please. And for some of us, that might be, oh, wow, this is great. This is awesome. I can celebrate. For others, it can be, I'm not too sure because of the experiences that you might have had. But I want to read a scripture to you this morning. I didn't plan to do this, but I believe this for somebody here who needs to hear this. And irrespective of where you come from or what your background has been or what your past has been, your future doesn't have to be based on your past. Amen? It doesn't have to be based on the stuff that's gone before. You can make a new decision. You can make it new in the years ahead of you. And this is the Father's promise to you. And this comes from Romans 8 and verse 35. If you have your Bibles, you can turn along with me to that scripture. Reading it from the Message this morning. Paul says here, so what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. I like that. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? Do you think? There is no way. Not trouble. Not hard times. Not hatred. Not hunger. Not homelessness. Not bullying threats. Not backstabbing. Not even the worst sins listed in Scripture, such as they kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We are sitting ducks. They pick us all one by one. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. Tell your neighbor, that's because Jesus loves you. It's because Jesus loves you. None of those things phase us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing, and it says nothing, living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing, say absolutely nothing, can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Hallelujah! Isn't that an awesome scripture? And that covers the whole spectrum of anyone who's been had a bad experience in the past. You can make it better in the future. Hallelujah. And that's not my message for this morning, but I thought somebody needed to hear that today, because we go through stuff and sometimes we try to carry our old stuff into our new walk with God, and you can't do that. You can bury it and walk anew in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm Sam. I got in here before Bob introduced me. I'm the pastor of the church here at the Lighthouse Church in New Malden. Really excited that we are moving to a new premise, to our new premises on the 1st of July. It's coming upon us very quickly. How many know that when you think about it 6 months before and you think, oh, okay, it's in July. Right. And then you suddenly think, hey, we are in June. And there's two more weeks here. And then One more week here, correct, not two. It's one more week here, and then we move to the school in Burlington School in New Malden. That is exciting. It's going to be new. It's going to be fresh. It's going to be teams of people coming together. It's going to be commitment. It's going to be an absolutely fantastic time together. I'm excited because it's new. Hallelujah. How many like something new? I'm fed up with you all the same old, the same old, the same old. We need something fresh, something new, something inspiring, something to look forward to, you know, something that just draws our attention to, something that's challenging, because there are so many unknowns that's going to happen. But hey, God is with us, amen? And I'm confident of that. So keep praying. You have these red cards on your seat. They're not there sitting pretty for you to sit on it, but it's there for you to take one of these home with you. There are some prayer, five prayer points that you can pray into. This is what we are believing God to do in the coming 6 months of that's left this year. So we are praying that this will happen and break out at Burlington School in New Malden. When you come on a Wednesday, you will be taught this, what's in this little book. Why? Because we need you to know what's in this little book. Because what's in this little book is absolutely fabulous. It's filled with, crammed up with the message of the gospel of Jesus. And people need to know the gospel of Jesus because it comes with his love. Amen? And so when you come on a Wednesday, we'll be going through this book so that you get to know what's in it. So that when people come and you talk to them, you can talk to them about what's in this book. So it makes it much easier to do that. So that happens on Wednesday. Is that okay? So, things are hotting up now, and we're getting serious about the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is a serious business. It cannot be taken lightly. It's a serious business. Why? Because Jesus is the founder. He's the one who started it. He's the one who will end it. He's the one who is always doing it. And so, when we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it's serious business. Because God is serious about you and me. He doesn't take a nap, a break, thinking, oh, you know, we'll just leave them for now. You know, they seem to be all right. No, it's all that is love. We sang his grace. He's chasing us all the time. He's always with us. He's always with us. Hallelujah. I like that song, actually. Well done for taking that track. It's not an easy song to do. Israel Houghton does it effortlessly. But, you know, it takes a bit of oomph to do a song like that. Hallelujah. So I heard this about an elderly couple. They've been married for 60 years. Say, wow. 60 years. Fantastic. We're married 32 now. So we're getting there. With joy. And they were at a church fellowship. For those of you who don't know, my wife's sitting just here, right here in front. So we are smiling here. They were at a church fellowship, and someone asked them the secret of their success. Obviously, you'd want to know. 60 years of marriage? Wow, that's amazing. So the man told how he always treated his wife with respect. Say respect. That's important. And he took her on trips all over the world. He said, in fact, on our 25th wedding anniversary, I took my wife to Beijing in China. And everyone's cheered. Wow, what an awesome man. Someone spoke up then and said, so what did you do for your 50th wedding anniversary? And then the husband said, I went back and picked her up. Too late, too late. We'll deal with him, man. Don't worry. Father, thank you this morning. Lord, we can smile, we can laugh, we can joke, because, Lord, you're alive in us. Hallelujah. You're alive in us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, this morning you brought us here. On this day that we celebrate fathers, God, because you created us as fathers, you created us as men. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for the differences. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are not all the same, and that makes it more exciting. We thank you, Lord, that even as we hear your word today, that, Lord, you'll speak to us, that you'll bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So dads, how many dads? Wave, dads, you're here. Let's give a clap for the dads. Fantastic. Dads are unique, aren't they? Dads are unique. And who can say how a dad will react to a situation? Ladies, can you ever predict how your husband will react to a situation? Oh, wow, okay, that must be really good. Need to have a chat with Alf. One thing is sure, that dads never react to the way moms do. Correct? Dads never react to the way moms do. Okay, we know that. Dads are peculiar and strange in a way. I get a lot of yes, yeah. And also, dads, we do funny things. I'm a dad too, so I don't exclude myself. We do strange, funny things at the wrong time. Yeah? Sometimes we get the timing wrong. Don't we, dads? Who's with me? We say the wrong thing. We do the wrong stuff. And the wives go, oh, did you have to say that? Have you noticed that dads can be impulsive? You know, they can butt in at the wrong time as well. I put people on the spot. When you're trying to, quietly deal with some things and say some things that are a bit shocking as well. That's dads. Dads can do crazy stuff that often annoys mom. Dads are dads. Hey, what can we do? God made us this way. Say amen, dads. Come on. Amen. Are you with me? I need a bit of yeah. Okay? Right. Let's put some testosterone behind today, okay? Lots of testosterone today. Dads are dads, and God made us dads, and every dad is different. Hallelujah. But here's the thing. We have an absolutely great example of a father, a dad, who not only thought about us in our sorry state, but did something about that too. A real, true dad. And we sang about this father this morning. He's a good, good father. That's who he is. He can't help being a good, good daddy. He can't help it. That's his nature. That's who he is. And our great dad, he realized that we were not able to tackle this life we are living here on our own. Tackling life on our own, facing our giants. Not being able to win in life. And so he sent someone special, and his name was Jesus, who was born as a man. He lived on this earth, and ultimately, he did the most amazing thing that a man could ever do, and that is he willingly gave his life for us. And he took the place of your guilt and my guilt and your shame and my shame. Where there was no hope, he gave us life. Your defeated life, your dead-end road life, to make something good out of it. That's why I said earlier, whatever has happened in the past, we can make it better for the future. It doesn't have to be based on our past because of Jesus. Hallelujah. You can say amen to that. Come on, men. Where are you? Amen. A bit louder. Oh, boy. You can't let the ladies beat you. Come on, men. Amen. Okay, that's better. There's a fantastic scripture that we all know, probably most of us know it by heart, and it's from John chapter 3 and verse 16. And it tells us of how much God the Father loved us. He loved this world so much. Can you imagine that? How could he love a world that's messed up? But he loved this world. He loved his creation. That he gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. But by believing in him, Anyone can have a whole and lasting life. Hallelujah. Anyone who believes in him can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. That's our good, good Father. What an amazing Lord, what an amazing Father. He never points an accusing finger. He comes to help and to put things right. What a story. What a love story. What a love story of and a genuine act of love. The Father did something about us, humanity, who were lost in our sin. In other words, we were wandering further and further away from God, caught up in our own world, thinking we have made it, thinking, yeah, we are successful, but knowing that ultimately we hadn't come to a place of accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And the Father did something about that. The Father sent his Son so that no one will be destroyed. No one will be destroyed. That's the Father's heart. And believe you me, fathers, today, there's no one, I believe, who deliberately, unless there's something absolutely wrong with someone, wants to destroy a child's life. But dads can do some silly things as well, because dads are human. And nobody shows you how to be a dad. Two people come together, they have a child, and boom, you're suddenly a dad. Nobody gives you a manual, you know, and saying, this is how you perform as a dad. You know, these are the things you've got to do, the do's and the don'ts. There's no manual to say that. It just happens. Sometimes it's planned, and sometimes it's not planned. And so men, and also moms as well, not excluding them, have to just think on their feet and do the best they know how. And every time you look at people's lives and their upbringing and their behavior, you can trace it back to what they've gone through in the past. Because what you've gone through in the past would reflect in the present. And if it's not dealt with in the present, it'll go into the future. But the good news is this, that whatever's happened in the past, I repeat again, we can deal with that now in the present so that the future can be better. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because of Jesus. Can you see that? What a promise. It says, no one will be destroyed. No one will be destroyed. But by believing in Jesus, his Son, anyone could have a whole new life. What a good, good Father. What a promise. Jesus, God's Son, came to help us, not to condemn or accuse. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 6. We read this. We read, even when we did not deserve such love, God still sent his Son to die for us, even when we did not deserve. And today, many times in the world today, we do things for people because we think they deserve it or they don't deserve it. God didn't look at it that way. If he did it that way, then he would never have sent his Son. He would have just doomed us forever. Because what good was there anyway in man? But God didn't look at man in that way. Irrespective of our behavior, irrespective of our character, irrespective of what stuff we messed up in life, God was still faithful. He was still the good, good Father that he always was, he always is, and he always will be. Hallelujah. He sent his Son to die when we did not deserve such a sacrifice, such a love. Can you see that? And he did that for us so that you and I might go free. We might enjoy freedom from sin. We no longer are under the power of sin and death. Hallelujah. What is sin? Sin is missing the mark of God's standard for our lives. It includes all the stuff that we do, yes, but it's missing the mark of God's standard. God has a standard for you and for me, and an expectation. And sin defeats us, keeps us away from the purposes of God. So that's what he does. And sin does that to us. Is that the Lord calling us? Yeah, thank you, Lord. He's giving us a shout. Happy Father's Day. I'm sure it's that. So, no longer under the power of sin and death, no longer under that death sentence that the devil has kept us under. And this is what it says, verses 5 to 6 of Romans 5. Look at it this way. At the right time, while we were still helpless, some versions of your Bible say, while we were yet in sin, we were still helpless, Christ died for ungodly people. For whom? Not for godly, but for ungodly people. For those who are outside of the kingdom of God, Jesus died for them. So we cannot accuse people and point fingers at people but just because they're not in the kingdom of God. Because Jesus died for them as well as for you and for me. We are thankful that we have found the Savior, that we have found eternal life, that we know Jesus. Hallelujah. Be thankful that we are in the presence of the Father. And we have the benefits of being in the presence of the Father. But those on the outside are yet to come in. And I'm believing and praying that as we move into Burlington School, that those on the outside will be able to come in and have a taste of the good, good Father. And know that their present can be dealt with and their future can be secured in Jesus. Amen? Can you say amen to that? That's a good vision. That's something good to go for. Because that's why God has positioned us and placed us here. I know we are not, 100 people yet, but hey, who cares about that? We are the people God has positioned, and we're well able to take a city. You know, in Judges, it talks about Gideon. And is it Judges? No. Yeah, it is Judges, isn't it? It talks about Gideon. He thought he needed 3,000 people, but God finally chose how many? 300. In God's economy, it's not having masses and masses and masses. God says, one with me is 1,000. One can put 1,000. Two can put 10,000. Do the maths of that. If you're a mathematician, not me. But you can do that. So it says, look at this way. At the right time, while we were still helpless, Christ died for ungodly people. Finding someone who would die for a godly person is rare. Maybe someone would have the courage to die for a good person. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Hallelujah. This demonstrates God's love for us. See, when we go beyond the place of somebody being bad to us, somebody trying to destroy us, somebody trying to tarnish our character or do something against us, when we're able to go beyond the point of retaliating or pushing them out of the way or doing things to harm them, we can go beyond that and say and come to a place of knowing that God still loves that person. Maybe I can draw that person through the love of Jesus. Then God is able to do something in that person's heart and in that person's life. Because that's what the Father did for us. Demonstration of God's love. I want to show you a video clip now, and I want you to watch. It's about 4 or 5 minutes, I think. And the question in that is what's been asked is, what's it like to be a dad? What's it like to be a dad? You ready to roll? Good. Turn the volume. Yeah, that's good.
Hey kids, Mom needs more help inside. How many kids do you have?
Three.
Three?
Yeah.
That is a good number.
Whoa. Let's just concentrate on this one for now. Hey, what's it like being a dad?
Kiss her, Daddy, kiss her!
Hashtag gag me.
Ugh.
Mr. Clamps has been sleeping for 2 days, Daddy.
Goodbye, Mr. Clamps.
No!
All right, just slow down a little
Dad,
bit.
Dad, stop yelling at me!
I don't think that's... Okay. And that is why we always wear our seatbelt. And that's the birds and the bees. Proud of you, son.
Run.
Huh?
Run, it's gonna blow!
No! Have I told you lately?
I know, Dad. You love me. You tell me all the time.
Actually, I was going to tell you I think you're beautiful inside and out.
Whatever. Dad, you are disgusting.
Yeah, Dad, you are disgusting.
This right here goes to your future, this right here goes to you, and this right here goes to God.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. How much does God get?
What's wrong, beautiful?
Trevor broke up with me.
Thank you, Lord.
He's such a jerk. He broke up with me on a text message.
He just replied.
Dad, I can't believe you! Thanks, Dad.
He didn't deserve you. He didn't deserve you. One, two, three! Heavenly Father, thank you for being so good to us.
God has the coolest job, getting to make clouds all day.
Yeah, he does. But I think one of his very best jobs is when he made you.
Daddy.
Hey, what's it like being a dad?
How much time you got?
You can stop that. What's it like being a dad? How many resonate with that? Dads, how much time have you got? See, only a dad can bring what a dad can. No one however hard they try, can take the place of a dad. No one can take the place of a dad. Now, I'm not dismissing anyone who is doing a fantastic job single-handedly. You're doing a fantastic job if you're on your own and you're bringing up a child. And praise God for your strength and your courage to be able to do that. I'm not denying that or dismissing it. But what I'm saying is that when dad is present and active and involved in the whole family benefits. The whole family benefits. The whole family is a healthy family. When dad is not in the family, he's absent. The family unit, what happens? It gets sick. And sadly, there are many families that are sick today because one parent has abdicated their parental role and responsibility. And that's sad. Because God designed a family with a father and a mother. And that was a reason for why God designed family that way. Because our brain, a man's brain, is very differently wired to a woman's brain. People think and they say, oh, you know, we want to see if we are compatible. That's rubbish, because you're never compatible. Because a man's brain, how many women know that? If you know anything about a man's brain is very different, correct? They bring flowers at the wrong time, yeah? They say silly things when you want a comforting word, they say something jokingly, you know, as if you don't matter. Am I right? Sometimes they women want you to just listen to them. They don't want you to tell them how to do things. Am I right, ladies? Are you with me? Okay, I'll take an offering later. But us men, we are wired differently. We are. That's how God wired us. And when we understand that, it makes life a bit easier to know why men behave the way they do. I do realize that some of us may not have had a good experience with our dads. But that does not mean that God our Father does not love us. That does not mean that life doesn't have to be great again. It doesn't mean that is the end of the road or there is no hope for us. It does not mean that we have to feel inadequate just because we didn't have a good experience with our earthly dad. Why? Because God loves us. Our Father loves us. He's a good, good Father. And He wants to take away the pain of not having a dad. That pain of maybe of abandonment. That pain of feeling rejected. And you know, when things like that happen, there are scars that are left on the inside. Haven't been dealt with. And God wants to take care of those scars that have been left behind because of a malfunctioning dad. But God our Father, He wants to do something about us. He wants to do something about what's happened in our lives through Jesus. God our Father wants to heal you. He wants to heal us. He wants to make us whole again. And you know what God's desire is for us? That we have a new start with Him. The old's gone. The present can be dealt with. The future can be secure in Him. He wants to have a fresh start with us where the pain has been taken away. The shame has been taken away. And where God gives us real joy, real true fulfillment in life does not come from having wealth. Because in that case, all the wealthy people will be absolutely fantastic, beautiful, loving, caring, great people. How many know wealthy people who are not so great? They have all the wealth, but their lives are in shambles. Correct? So wealth doesn't do anything to somebody other than just bring all the material stuff into their world. They can buy the best cars, the best houses, the best of everything. But it doesn't satisfy that innermost being. Nothing can do that except God the Father. If you want fulfillment in life, it has to come through Jesus. Because he's the only one who can fulfill you and me. Jesus loves you. He does. He genuinely loves us. He can remove that pain. Only he can go to the darkest and most painful place in our lives and heal the wounds. No amount of therapy, thank God for the therapists we have. No amount of drugs, and I deal not with bad drugs. I should be careful what I say here. I deal with pharmaceutical medicines. Thank God we have such medicines that try to prevent diseases and try to delay some of the symptoms of a disease and give us a more comfortable life. So thank God for the medicines we have and for the doctors that we have are able to diagnose what's going on in our lives and be able to treat us in a way that gives us a better quality of life. However, having all that around us, only our Father God can heal the wound, the deepest wound and the deepest hurt in our life. There's no drug that can deal with that. The drug will mask your symptoms. An antipsychotic drug, antidepressive drug will take you for the period of the life cycle of the drug, maybe for a few hours that is active in your body. You feel a bit better, but the moment the drug wears off, because the drug doesn't stay in your body forever and ever, it has its life cycle in your body. What happens? You go back into the state that you were. So who can fix that? Only our good, good Father. Can you see that? These are all temporary fixes. I was speaking to someone only very, very recently, and he was saying that the reason he loves, he likes to drink a lot and do a bit of drugs. And I asked him why. He said, because, that's my happy place. I feel happy, when I'm high. Now, what happens when it's all gone? Oh, I have to do it again. Can you see the cycle of that? The enemy has somehow confounded and tricked a person into believing. The moment you smoke this weed or you take these drugs, you feel great. Oh, all your burdens are gone, Life is fantastic. You're like floating in the clouds. And many people want that floating in the clouds kind of experience. That's why they go into drugs. But what happens? It drags you and drags you and drags you, because the more you want it, the more you have it, the more you want. The more you have it, the more you want. And it drags you down and down and down. And then it kills you. One fine day, we read in the papers, we read on the news, that people overdose because they want it more and more and more. And then the body can't take it anymore. And it gives up. That's a sad way to go. Who can fix that? Jesus can fix that. Is it worth going to the Burlington School? Is it worth spending our time there just to tell people and talk to people about a Father, a good Father who loves them and cares for them? Is it worth? Is it worth our getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, and getting to church and saying, hey, I'm ready to come, I'm ready to serve? Is it worth it? To tell somebody you have a good, good Father, somebody's going down that road, ultimately to die out of whatever condition they're in. Is it worth getting up? Is it worth showing up? Is it worth setting up that hall for the kingdom of God, for God's people, for people to come and hear the gospel of Jesus and make a decision, give their hearts to the Lord? Is it worth it? I think it is worth it. It is worth it. And we're going to talk about that after our meal in a little while. The question is this: will you let Jesus heal your wound? Will you let Jesus be the Lord of your life? Will you let Jesus come into your moment right now and transform your moment right now so that he can walk with you in the future? Only you can love Jesus. He'll never force himself into our lives. We've got to love him to come into our lives. We've got to ask him and say, Jesus, I want you to come in and heal my heart. Heal my brokenness. Heal my hurts. Heal my pain. Take away my pain. God, I feel pain every day when I wake up. I feel pain for my children. Today, if you're a parent and if you are hurting because your child is not in the kingdom of God or your child has gone away from the presence of God, if you are hurting on the inside, today Jesus can take charge of that hurt. He can ease that pain and you can carry that. He can carry that load with you because by your own efforts, you cannot change your child. You need God's presence. You need God's power. You need the God, the Holy Spirit, to touch and to heal and to change that heart of stone into a heart of flesh. Only God can do that. You and I can't orchestrate it. Only God can. And only God can ease your pain. Why not give it to Jesus? Don't carry it anymore. Say, Jesus, I give my pain to you. I give my child to you. I can't watch them 24/7. God, I don't know where they are, what they're doing, what they're up to. In a world that's filled with technology, mobile phones and the internet, and where websites are so easily accessible today, young people today are Snapchatting, they're communicating, they're sending pictures, and all sorts of things are happening because it's so easy today, in a second, to communicate. As parents, we are concerned, we are worried, because we know where that can lead our young people into, or what it can lead it into. But you can't watch them 24/7. What else? What can you do instead? Take it to the Lord in prayer and say, God, my Father, you love our children. You love them more than I do. You died on the cross for them, Jesus. And as we sang that song, your love is chasing them. God, I pray that your grace will hunt them down. No matter where they're at, no matter how far they are from you, God, I pray, Lord, that your mercy and your grace will hunt them down and will find them. And only God can do that. The next thing I want to say is never give up on praying for your child. Never give up, because God hasn't given up on them. God never gives up on his children. Never give up. So this morning, now is your time to make peace with God and say, God, forgive me. If I have hurt my child, if I have said nasty things, if I have crushed their spirit, God, forgive me. And I ask that as well, God, forgive me if I have said anything that has crushed the spirit of our children. God, heal me. And healed our children, heal them. But they will not carry anger or bitterness. They will not carry those hurts in their lives. But the enemy will not twist and make things sour in their lives. But God, that you will shed your light, you'll shine your light in those dark places. They will see your goodness, your mercy, your grace. They will know your love, Jesus. They will turn their hearts to you, because only you can save and you can deliver them from their situation. Let's all stand this morning. It goes both ways, from dads to children, or from parents to children. from children to parents. But now is your moment to make peace with God and release your children. If you've said something hurtful, call them up and say, son, daughter, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I hurt you. See, the moment you do that, it releases them from the power of the enemy to hold them in captivity. It releases you from that guilt that you keep carrying. You don't have to carry that guilt anymore because Jesus took it upon himself on the cross of Calvary. Only Jesus can heal your heart. Good, good Father, it's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am.